If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at www.tn4action.com. That's www.tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And thank you for joining us today on this fine Labor Day. Have a good show lined up for you today. We're going to have Kathy Henners from Daily Roll Call with us today. We're going to have Michael Patrick Leahy from Beat Lamar. And we're going to have Dave Nance from the Constitution Party of Tennessee. Well, today is September 2nd. It's Labor Day. Hopefully everybody had a good Labor Day. You know, we're rapidly approaching the 12th anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, we have been led to believe over the years that Al-Qaeda is the big threat out there. And obviously they are a threat. I mean, they did kill 3,000 of our people, and that's something that we should never forget. But there's another organization out there that a lot of people don't seem to know as much about and don't realize that in many ways they're an even greater threat. And in fact, they're further along in infiltrating our government at both the federal and state levels. We have advisors who are members of this organization who are on our federal DHS. We have a partnership here in the state of Tennessee with a front group for this organization. And if you don't know by now, I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. There's an event that if you don't know about it, you need to know about it. And with our first guest, Kathy Henners, we'll get into this a little more in depth. But I just want to take a couple minutes here and make sure that you know about this event. And if you can at all possibly be there so that you can learn about this organization. You're not going to get it from our federal government. You're not going to get it from our state government. You need to go and listen to the experts. And the event is Remembering 9/11, the Brotherhood, America's Next Big Enemy with Eric Stakelback. It's Wednesday, September 11th, 2013, from 6:45 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Central Time. Embassy Suites, Nashville, South Cool Springs, 820 Crescent Center Drive, Franklin, Tennessee, 37067. So mark your calendars. Wednesday, September 11th, 2013, from 6:45 to 8:45, Embassy Suites, Nashville South, 820 Crescent Center Drive, Franklin, Tennessee. And just a little bit about Eric Stakelback. We had hoped to get him next week. It looks like that's not going to be possible. He's going to talk about his new book, The Brotherhood, America's Next Great Enemy. We're going to have a memorial service with Rabbi John Hausman. We'll talk about the Brotherhood threat in Tennessee with Kathy Henners, Tennessee legislators Senator Bill Ketron and Representative Judd Matheny, and host Lee Douglas from the Project 912 group in Tennessee will be there. If you're interested in going and visiting, taking the VIP event in, that's https://vipstakelback@eventbrite.com. And there's several different organizations. I'm going to run down the line here real quick and tell you some of the organizations that are supporting this event. It's brought to you by the ACT Middle Tennessee Chapter, ACT Rutherford County, American Constitution Center, Americans for Peace and Tolerance, Center for the Study of Political Islam, 8th District Tea Party Coalition, Murray County Tea Party, Not Alone, Operation Restored Warrior, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Project 912 Tennessee, Tennessee Eagle Forum, Tennessee Freedom Coalition. So this is an event you really need to look into so that you can find out what's going on. And you can find out how deep the infiltration already is in our state and in our country. Like I said, our first guest tonight is Kathy Henners, and I believe we have her here on the line with us. Kathy, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor, and I did Labor today.
We're non-Labor Day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate you being with us today, and I started out a little bit. I didn't mean to steal any of your thunder, but this is an important event, so I thought I could hit it at the beginning, and you can hit it at the close, and maybe pick up a few more people that'll decide, hey, I need to go listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
So you have some new things on your site. Of course, you've got the blog, Daily Roll Call, and you have some new things going on there as well, right, with your Facebook page?
Oh, yeah. We just started a new Facebook page. We're doing really good. As of this afternoon, I was up to about 339 friends. So please feel free to go to dailyrollcall.com, and from there you can get onto the Facebook page. Like the page, friend the page. It's all about, you know, what you want to talk about. We talk about the Muslim Brotherhood. It's a variety of different friends that are on that page. We have a lot of politicians that are there. So it gives us a new format for people to be able to come in and to read stories and to make their comments on these stories. And it's another good tool for us to get some information out. I've got on there, I want people to stay tuned. We're going to be giving away 2 general admission tickets to the 9/11 event. So stay tuned to watch how we're going to do that. But it's going to involve, we're not sure. It could be either as simple as be the right caller, either on your show or on Michael DelGiorno's show. Or we're going to see how many people can friend the most people in a certain period of time to win these tickets. And I will be starting again on Michael DelGiorno's show on Monday the 9th. We'll be starting back with all the kind of the research that we've been doing all summer, so that we can put some things out to the public about what's happening in the schools, with school boards and the Common Core, and then certainly about the Muslim Brotherhood within Middle Tennessee. So we've got a lot of things going on. If people go to the website, you can make comments on the articles that are written, and I think you'll find some of them interesting. I'm trying to get into more towards Western Tennessee as well. So information is vital to us at Daily Roll Call, because we need any information that you have on your school districts, whether it's Montgomery County, Obion County, wherever out west, you know, wherever you are, actually. You know, if you see something, Islamic training or Arab culture training or something like that, please get in contact with us, because we need to know where this is happening. You know, we've been really good on Metro Nashville schools and the Rutherford County schools. But there's a lot more areas that they're in that we just have not been able to tap into. So, you know, please watch for your anti-bullying and your diversity classes and your Arab culture training, because these are all the ways that the Muslim Brotherhoods are getting into the schools. So if you hear, you know, if your student comes home, if your child comes home and says, you know, this is what we did today, or this is what we had, or our teachers had, please get in touch with me, because this needs to be exposed. You know, we're finding that there's a back door into every school district, and this is how they're doing it. So we need to know that information as well. And I just want to thank you for inviting me out last week. I had a great time, met a lot of good people where you are, so I appreciated speaking to your group out there.
Well, hey, we appreciate you coming, and everybody enjoyed it. It was an eye-opener for a lot of people out here in Stewart County, even though, you know, we have the compound out here, an Islamic compound that's been there for years, Jamaat el-Fukra, I'm sure I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but
you know,
a lot of people know about it, but a lot of people have the wrong impression. You know, oh well, you know, hey, they're just different. They're friendly. I've never had any problems with them, and they just don't quite get it. But we were glad to have you out. You pointed out a lot of things to us that a lot of us, you know, I've learned some things myself on some of the things to look for in stores. And even though we haven't seen that here in this county, I have seen. There are stores between here and, let's say, Jackson that I had my suspicions about. And now I know what to look for when I go back. But I want to go back to the schools for just a minute, because you mentioned what you're seeing going on in Metro Nashville, and you talked about some of the different avenues, the diversity, the Arabic studies, and whatnot. What have you seen, and what are some key? Obviously, you pointed out some of the keys, but some of the trends that you're seeing in Metro.
Well, they're coming in through two avenues. The First Amendment Center, under the guise of the First Amendment, we're finding that a group called Diversity and Dialogue has done training through the Metro schools via the Skerritt-Bennett Center and the First Amendment Center, which are stationed or located in Nashville. And this Diversity and Dialogue, what they did last year, they trained the teachers and sub-administrators. And what was really odd about that is they asked the teachers to sign confidentiality agreements that they would not go outside of the scope of this class and tell the public. And I thought that was the first red flag. When you're asking your teachers or administrators to sign a confidentiality that you're not going to tell what the training consisted of, that is a problem. And then what we learned was that in that, they had, in this training, they had the teachers had to role play, and a lot of them had to portray themselves as Muslims throughout the training. And what was interesting was one of the women that was present had alluded to the fact that she worked for Skerritt-Bennett. So that allowed the teachers to open up. They felt that there was no one from the school there, and they opened up their true feelings about how they felt about Muslims, whether they were frightened or whatever. And then at the end of the program, the woman announced that she, in fact, was a supervisor with the Metro Nashville schools. So, you know, if you can't trust your own administration, then, you know, we found that to be a huge problem. But the training in itself, you know, having the teachers role play, for what purpose? I don't think we need to role play being a Christian or a Jew, so I don't quite understand where that came from.
Well, the ACLU would be all over that if we tried it.
Oh, yeah. This is what's happening in the schools. Now, Metro is, you know, they're a large school district. There are several thousand, you know, students, so it's very difficult. We also know that one of the schools goes to a mosque. Every year they have a field trip to the mosque, and once they're inside the mosque, they're given Qurans to bring home. And, you know, that again, you know, do we take them to the churches and give them Bibles to take home? Well, no, that doesn't always happen. So there's a lot of things going on in Metro schools. And that being such a big school district, it's very hard for people. People are scared. They don't want to lose their jobs or anything like that. But we've proven that we've, you know, been able to get these stories out to the public. You know, I treat them like I used to treat my confidential informants. You can pull my nails out, and I'm not going to tell your name. So, and we've had quite a bit of experience with Rutherford County schools as well. But I think the key words that people need to pay attention to is in how the Muslims are getting into the schools. They go under the guise of diversity, bullying, certainly Arab culture or any type of culture, diversity, and very, they'll use the word First Amendment, freedom of speech. But you won't hear the word Muslim or Islam. They're smart enough to be taking that word out of the training. And the groups that are coming and doing this, you have the Islamic Network group or Connecting Cultures. So there's so many different groups. But if your child comes home and says something about whether the parents or teachers have this particular training on their day, their in-service training days, or the students are expecting to be trained, that is a red flag, because we need to know what group it is and what they plan on teaching the children. So anybody
well,
with that information.
They're very sneaky. Sneaky. I've got to take a real quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Okay.
The left can't stand the Second Amendment and Americans' right to keep and bear arms. And now there's something else they're sure to hate. It's the Second Amendment Forum on Conservative Nation Radio with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decade of experience with firearms and our Second Amendment rights to Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, starting August 7th. The leftist administration in D.C. wants to arm the American people, and Max just won't let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And, Kathy, we got a caller. We're going to go ahead and take a call real quick. Caller, you have a question? Hello?
Hello?
You have a question? Hello? Okay, yes. All right.
Guess
well,
not.
I guess so. They're just listening in. That's good, I guess.
No, you know, anybody with a question, please call in. That's fine. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping some of my friends from New York are listening tonight. I sent them to the link to listen to your show, so hopefully they're paying attention up there in that liberal state as to what's going on.
Great. Yeah, well, yeah, they definitely better. Now, back to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did the teachers that were doing this role-playing, were they elementary, were they middle school, high school, or all?
I believe it was high school, but we're seeing they're starting probably in the middle school, so along about sixth grade is where a lot of the training is coming into play for the teachers and the administrators. That's what we found in Rutherford County, was it began in the sixth grade, and that's right in line with the textbook issues as well.
Let's talk about that one a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, there's some tremendous people, you know, that have been working so hard and so diligently on these textbook issues, and they're finding that the anti-Semitism and the pro-Islamic, you know, the bias in these textbooks are outrageous. And, you know, a lot of the school boards, at such as Williamson County, have chosen to keep these books. And, I think that parents are going to have to almost rebel and demand that their child not bring home these textbooks and not use these textbooks. You know, the state commission, I believe, is getting ready to accept these books. They only have another week or so to go over the reviews, and so this is the critical part. This is what the crux of what everyone has been working so hard on. But you know, it's people don't understand. The textbook is just another way of control. You know, if you tell your child enough times that this is good, well, then they're going to start believing that. And it goes anywhere from building the five pillars of Islam and understanding what the five pillars are and enacting those out to, you know, reading about in the textbook. The one textbook that was used in Williamson County talked about a scenario that said, if a Palestinian walks into an Israeli restaurant and blows himself up and kills several Jewish teenagers, is that an act of terrorism or a political act? And, you know, they start questioning what terrorism is. And another child came home and said, who owns Israel? And, you know, so everything that a parent is teaching their child is being questioned, whether it's by a teacher or by the very book that they're reading. And so it's very dangerous. So people need to look at what their textbooks are saying, especially your world history, your social studies, and any religion-type books that they bring home. It's just really, really dangerous because we don't know. And with Common Core, the textbooks are eventually going to disappear. There won't be textbooks per se. Everything that your child does will be on a computer. So there won't be bringing home anything. It'll all be done on a computer in school. And we know we have found that there is, of course, an Islamic influence with Common Core. At first we thought that it was just, you know, a global initiative, if you will. But we have found that a lot of the money is coming from the Qatar Foundation. So, of course, it's being funded by Saudis. So, of course, there's going to be that Saudi empathy, if you will, and their point of view. And it's just so dangerous. And if you notice, if your listeners will start paying attention, everything is becoming global. There is no more emphasis on being citizens of a country. It's a global thought. It's a global ideology. And, you know, it's a very dangerous time right now with the schools. So, you know, parents just have to start saying, no, vote these school members out, kick them out, do whatever you got to do to start making our school books go back to the way they were when we were brought up. I'm sure there was a little bit of indoctrination, you know, when we were growing up, but nothing to this extent. So,
nothing like it. So 12 years after 9/11, we still don't know. Not only do we not recognize who the enemy is and what the enemy is and their basic ideology, but we are teaching our kids we're allowing the Saudis, and most of mm-hmm. the hijackers on 9/11 were Saudi. We're allowing them to have input on what our kids are being taught in school.
Yes, and it's getting worse. Well, when you look at the textbooks, I mean, Pearson Textbook, which is a relatively large publisher of our textbooks in our school, a certain percent is Libya has stock in that particular book. And when you look at some of the researchers that they've hired, two of them are fairly radical. One is a woman convert from Virginia who has taught for one of the highest Islamic schools. So we're looking at really radical mindsets who are actually doing the research and writing the books. And they're also trying to rewrite history. I mean, there's some things that are outrageous, such as, you know, Columbus didn't discover America, the Muslims discovered America. So, you know, these are kind of ideologies that are changing the course of our own kids' history. And this is not just in Tennessee. This is nationwide. So it's in every state there. I believe there's either 11 or 14 states that have said no thank you to Common Core. And then you have to be careful of what the next phase is. It's called C-Scope, which Texas is dealing with right now. But, you know, it's all about money. It's all about funding. And if you took those, if your state took the race to the top dollars, then surely enough, your Common Core is coming in the back door because that's the money. And no school, you know, really can afford to say no to this money. But we're accepting blood money. We're accepting terrorism money when we say yes.
Absolutely.
There's got to be another way.
Yep. Well, school board, put it this way, no school board member should feel like he could afford politically to accept this money if that's the kind of garbage that they're going to put in the books. You're right. We have to hold them accountable some way. Now, you mentioned Williamson County a minute ago, and they went ahead and decided – after all the uproar from the parents, that they're still going to use the book. What's the next step for the parents? I mean, what do they do from here?
Well, it's kind of difficult because the book has been out in the school district for some time. It isn't really new. I would say the next step for these parents is to almost revolt and just say no. This is not what we choose to have. I mean, if Mr. Looney, who's the superintendent of schools there, if he chooses to continue to push this agenda, I think it's up to the parents and the community to push back even stronger and just say no. A lot of people in Rutherford County are pulling their children out of the school districts. And what's funny about that is you look at some of these teachers, and a lot of these teachers our teachers and board members actually homeschool their children. So I think that speaks volumes. We have that happening in Rutherford County. But Williamson County, Mr. Looney has kind of lost his mind, if you will. Anybody who looks at these textbooks, you know, I think Looney fits the name, to be honest with you, because
yeah.
it's just not even – feasible of a patriotic or sensible ideology to look at these books and think that this is what our children should be learning. But I will say for school boards, any school board member that is listening, we are listening and we will expose you in every way, every forum that I have, whether it's Michael's show or this show or any other show that we do, the website, we are listening for the school board's inactions or inappropriate actions. And we're going to call them out on it. And we've done so by name, by picture, on the website. As a matter of fact, one person was rather upset that I put all the pictures of the school board that voted to keep this book in. And she thought that I was putting them in danger. So, well, no, their pictures are out on the internet anyway. But I think it's important for people to see these people and then approach them in a civil manner and say, we don't like what you did. And, you know, if you've got something to hide, that's your problem. So just, you know, word to the school boards. We're starting in Murray County next. People are tired. And if this is how we have to do it, then this is how we're going to do it. We're just going to expose them just as much as we're exposing the Muslim Brotherhood because they're dangerous. They're dangerous and they
gotta
go.
You voted for it, you own it. Bottom line,
that's
you
right.
voted for it, you own
pretty
it.
Pretty much. Absolutely. There was one thing I just wanted to tell people real quick about the 9/11 event. It has, well, I shouldn't say it has been hijacked, but there is a group out there that is attempting, a Muslim group that is attempting to hijack the event. It's called AMPAC, which is the American Political Action Committee. They, back in January of this year, posted on their website, this is where we first found out about this 9/11 event, that they were going to have this march and demand their civil rights and to demand laws be enacted to protect them. Well, they since obviously have changed their tune, and now it's the American Million American March for Fear. But please be mindful, if you have a legitimate organization, a gentleman by the name of Will Coley from East Tennessee, he's reaching out to a lot of these organizations. He is a Muslim, and he is stating that, you know, they're all on the same page, and, you know, we want to be together for against this government. And, you know, he's created quite a roar in some of the Tea Parties. He's managed to infiltrate a couple of the Tea Parties out in East Tennessee. And he is not legitimate. He is very Sharia, pro-Sharia. And, you know, they're doing this to boost their numbers. There is
now, you're talking about the event in D.C., though, correct?
Yes, yes, I'm sorry. It's going to be a very large event because there's a lot of people from Tennessee that are going to that event. There's a 2 million biker ride going to that event, and they have actually hijacked their website and made it look like they were joining forces. They've got the National Gun Association that looks like they're joining forces, when in fact they are not. So, you know, please be mindful of your 9/11, your big event in Washington. Unlike our event here in Cool Springs in the Nashville area, we haven't been hijacked. We're not going to let that happen here. But, you know, this group, this gentleman is out there, and he is from Tennessee, and he has contacted several of our organizations here. So I think he just probably needs to be pummeled a couple times by some of the leaders of these groups, and that ought to end that. Now, I'm not promoting violence. I'm just saying he needs to learn a lesson. Just be mindful, you know, if you're ahead of any of these organizations, don't fall for Muslims for Liberty. We do not want to trust them at all. So just a little note on that.
Pretty much mutually exclusive there, Muslims and Liberty. I want to try to call her again, see if I can get him to pick up this time.
Okay.
Caller, are you with us? Hello, do you have a question? Okay, guess not.
Oh, they get stage fright, huh?
I don't know. Anyway, this is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm Dave Vance, your host. We're talking to Kathy Henners. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We've got a few minutes until the break. Now, there's different front groups in Tennessee, and I know people that have listened to the show, we've been on the air for a couple of months now, and we've had you a few times, and guess what? We're going to have you on a regular basis, as regular as we can, because this is an important issue. So if you could just kind of go over some of the front groups in Tennessee that some of the people might not be familiar with that they need to know about that are Muslim Brotherhood front groups.
I would say the first one to be very mindful of is the American Center for Outreach. There is no Islamic Muslim word in that for a reason. But again, the American Center for Outreach is founded and directed by a woman by the name of Remzia Suleiman. And why this is important is Ms. Suleiman has pretty much deemed herself a activist for Muslims and immigrants and civil rights in that community. And what we have found, and this was a gem, someone had created a video of Ms. Suleiman and put it on YouTube, and we believe it's going viral. It's incredible. But in the process of her being in a forum on mosques, she makes a statement that she had no idea what Sharia law was, that she had to reach out to the imams across our state to find out what Sharia law was because she was going to be talking to politicians. So we, you know, kind of looking at that, thinking, there's your taqiyya in action, because she goes into these interfaith forums and speaks very highly of her religion, claims to be a very religious young Kurd. And, you know, when we see a video like this where she has no idea of her own doctrine. And so, you know, we've taken it, or at least Daily Roll Call has taken it, and I have been delivering that to every politician in Tennessee, you know, to anybody that I think that has reached out to her, you know, anybody that is truly a religious person that has been on an interfaith forum with her should feel deceived, because she does not even know her own doctrine, yet she has the gall to stand and fight the anti-Muslim terrorism support bill, or I'm sorry, not the anti-Muslim, but the terrorism support bill. You know, she comes out as being so religious and so pious, when in fact she is anything but. So that video is also linked to it is on, you know, Daily Roll Call as well as my Facebook page. But I think that every politician needs to see this, especially if she's lobbied, you know, for her cause.
Yeah.
With you.
Kathy, I hate to break in, but I'm going to have to rub against a hard break here, and just stay with us, and we'll get to you right back after the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking to Kathy Henners from DailyRollCall.com. We're going to take a couple quick calls here, Kathy, see if we can get a pickup this time.
Okay.
Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
Yes. I very much appreciate that for change somebody is putting names and positions of the people who are promoting Islam in the United States. I do not think, at least personally, I can blame Muslims too much for what they do, that their modus operandi for at least a couple thousand years, and that I believe that true enemies of United States as a republic are the people who are helping them. It's not just Fifth Column. They are actually active and eager participants of this very destructive movement. And they do not mind putting us in danger, but suddenly they're complaining as soon as their names and photographs appear and available for public, they suddenly get scared and complaining. They have nothing to complain. I do not believe any conservative or pro-republic person in the United States would attack some guy who is presiding in a school board. They would not be reelected, that's for sure. I hope that's for sure. So I really appreciate what you're doing, and this is the way to do it. Let's expose the bastards who are actually putting all this in motion. Muslims, we can submit them in no time under the heel of the law. In no time. But without support of these quislings, they wouldn't have even a voice. They would be normal Americans. They would not be provoked to act the way they act, because they would realize we either become Americans or, you know what, pack your stuff and get the hell out.
Very well said. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
that. Thank you very
that.
Much. I'm looking forward to see you on 11th.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye. Very good. Very good. Very well said.
A great call. I laid a few rules there, but hey, it was hard to, I just couldn't bring myself to stop him, so.
No, he really, you know, he sums it up well, too, that, that, you know, the religion itself is not the only enemy. You know, obviously we have people that are pushing an ideology, so he hit that right on the head. Very well said, so.
Yeah. And he's right, because look who's enabling it. I mean, at the state level, who is enabling it? Our governor. Our head of DHS, Bill Givens.
Yep.
Those are the people that are enabling it, the people on the school boards. I mean, if they look at these textbooks and they see what's in them and they vote for them anyway, they're enablers.
Absolutely.
And he's absolutely right. And at the federal level, it's even worse. It's even worse at the federal level. So,
well, I was glad he wasn't an argumentative person. I thought he, you know, that was a great point, and people need to understand that as well. So, you know, our own government has its issues with being our enemy as well. So, very well said. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now, you're going to speak a little bit at the 9/11 event. You want to?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a preview? And I know you're going to be back again next week, but like I say, this is one of those important things, so the more we hit it, the better. Can you give us just a little preview? We're still waiting for our we've got a couple minutes here, waiting for our next guest. And
okay.
I don't want to waste time, and I've got you on the line. Let's, you know, pull whatever we can out of you.
It's going to be a very quick. Mr. Steckelback is, of course, going to be the keynote speaker this year, and speaking in general about the Muslim Brotherhood. And I will probably very briefly just quickly throw out there a few of the names, as we've been talking about on your show and on other shows, about who the actual organizations are within this general area, this Middle Tennessee area. You know, if I could just clarify one thing about the video, when Ms. Suleiman talks about Sharia law, I just need people to understand that that is the doctrine, that is the doctrine of the religion of Islam. As a Muslim, as a self-proclaimed very religious Muslim girl, she should be very well aware of her doctrine. She should not have to call imams across the state because she has to go talk to politicians. So I just wanted to clarify that. I know sometimes I just think everybody knows what Sharia is. It is the way of life for a Muslim. You know, whether she's a Muslim, she says she's a Muslim, I believe she's a Muslim. If she's not a very good one, shame on her and shame on the interfaith people and people that are believing her, especially your politicians. So please, you know, go to my website, dailyrollcall.com, link up to my Facebook page, you know, become a friend, write your thoughts, but watch the video. It's imperative that people understand and tell their local and state representatives, you're being duped by this girl. She's using religion as a guise to push her agenda. And, you know, she needs to be discredited. And anybody who wants to continue a relationship with her in the political world, that's probably where their name's going to be out there on all these forums as well, because if they're supporting a Muslim Brotherhood agenda and an ideology, they need to be called out on that as well. So just to, you know, and then a reminder, please, you know, there's still some seats available for the 9/11 event in Cool Springs on Crescent Center Drive on Wednesday, 9/11. So with Eric, and then there's going to be a memorial service, a brief memorial service with Rabbi John Hausman. Senator Bill Ketron will be there, Representative Judd Matheny, and then, of course, Eric Steckelback, who just released his book, his new book, Without the Formation of the Muslim Brotherhood, there would have never been a 9/11 is what he truly believes, which I believe. And then myself as well, just giving a brief overview of what's happening. Tickets at the door for $30, you still have to show identification. Ahead of time, if you get it online, they are $20. I believe the VIP meet and greet is sold out. I'm not sure. Keep watching the website if they've changed
that. It's
real
close if it's on.
Yes. So, and it'd be well worth it, you know, to bring a copy of his book, you know, have him sign your book, if you will, whatever, you know, you want to do. I look forward to meeting people. Quite a few people on my Facebook page have said they're going to attend. And so I think I'm going to wear a big hat. I guess that's the only way I can tell people who I am, is I'm just going to wear a big old hat, some
big cowboy hat?
I don't know. Big cowboy hat or something, yeah. but, you know, I'm looking forward to the event. I was there last year, and, you know, we had a good time last year, so this should be a nice event as well. So I'd like to see that room just brimming with people. You know, it's a great way to understand in plain English what the Muslim Brotherhood is and where they're at. And I think the more names and organizations that we put out there, that's the only way. It's like exposing cancer to sunshine. It's the only way we're going to kill it. So please try to attend that event if you can.
We definitely won't get it from the feds or the state. Have you got time to take one more question from a caller?
Sure, absolutely.
Kurt, have you got a question or a comment for Kathy?
Oh, yeah, Dave, I do. Hi, Kathy. How you doing? And, Dave, you probably already know the answer to this question. You caught my ear a while ago, Kathy, about this imposter, sorry about that, who is circulating among Tea Party. Did you throw out a name, or is that kind of being held back?
No, I did. His name is Will Coley, and I believe he's from Marysville, east part of Tennessee, and he's with Muslims for Liberty, but he also says that he is part of the Tea Party in Tennessee.
That's good. That I did not catch that because I was paying attention, unfortunately, to something else. And one other quick note, you may know this or you may not. When the JLOC committee met a couple of Wednesdays ago for the first time, you remember all the flap about AMAC, the American Muslim Advisory Council?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The pictures that were published immediately after that came to light had pictures of members of that committee, a meeting in Legislative Plaza in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I saw one of them. He stands out. He's very easily distinguished because he's about 7 feet tall. And I had been seeing this guy in there on a regular basis every time I went to Nashville. I still don't know his name, but that Wednesday that JLOC met, there he showed up in the hearing room that day. And then before I had a chance to really say anything to anybody, he disappeared. But he still apparently has kind of free access to roam around the Capitol as he pleases. You might want to find out who he is. He's, like I said, he's really slender and looks like he's about 7 feet tall. But I don't.
Is he an African American?
Well, he would appear to be, but he's a member of the American Muslim Advisory Council.
He's a Somalian, and his name is Mohammed Shakuri. I believe that's who we're talking about. Real thin. I'm pretty sure that's Mohammed Shakuri, and he's also becoming very active with AMAC and the ACO, the American Center for Outreach, as well. He is kind of intertwined between the two of them, as they do. They go back and forth between. He's very active, and he's a Somalian, yes.
He's been all over Legislative Plaza for a long time now.
Yes.
I've got to break in here. Got to break in here real quick and do a read, if you can hold with us until after that. Our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're speaking with Kathy Henners from Daily Roll Call, and we're talking about the Muslim infiltration of Tennessee. Kathy, hey, I'll keep you on as long as you're available. You've more than fulfilled your obligation, but if you have something else that you wanted to hit on, feel free.
Well, I just think, you know, like both callers have pretty much said, you know, it's all about getting names and faces out there. And certainly the website, and there's another website that I do have a link to on dailyrollcall.com. If you go under to Friends, your website is there. There's several other websites. But the another interesting post is the Tennessee for Political Justice. And the link... The link is there, and that is brilliant. And I believe she came out, or he or whoever writes that, came out with something today, another post, and I haven't got to really look at it. But again, it brings out the same names that we've been talking about, this Renzia Suleiman. So I think it's so important, you know, that people start hearing these names over and over. And I do the same thing on the Michael Del Giorno show. We talk about the same names, and I'm sorry if people get sick of it, but it should be a household name because these people are dangerous. You know, they're in line with the Muslim Brotherhood ideology. And so this website, Tennessee for Political Justice, they do a wonderful job with all kinds of information about what's happening down in the, you know, legislature and, again, who these people are. And so, you know, take a look at those organizations as well. And then I think the biggest thing is under my documents tab, you'll see the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto, or as it's technically called, is the Strategic Goal for North America. And the first few pages are in Arabic, but English follows. And it's imperative that people read and understand this document. It is the game plan for the Muslim Brotherhood, and it was admitted into evidence. So it has evidentiary value. They have never disputed this this manifesto, if you will. So it isn't like it's just someone's opinion. It is evidence in a trial. And it lays out strategically what they and how they will infiltrate in schools is a huge part of their plan, as well as media. And what have we got now in Nashville? We have Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera in Nashville, yes. Tennessee. Now, something is wrong with that picture. And it's no accident that they're in Nashville, no accident they're in Tennessee. And a lot of people don't realize that in a lot of ways Tennessee is ground zero because we're the buckle of the Bible Belt. And there is so much activity going on here. And, man, there's a reason for that. If the buckle falls, the rest will. And, you know, back to the manifesto, like you said, that's not somebody's interpretation of their intentions. They laid out their intentions. It was used in court, and they never disputed that, hey, this is what we intend to do. And they listed all their groups. They listed the Muslim Student Association, which you have one at every university in Tennessee. As a matter of fact, you probably have one in pretty much every university in the country. And there's 27, I think, different organizations. Well, we have a version of several of those here in Tennessee. So it's there. People might not want to admit it, but they better wake up. They better pull their head out of the sand while they still have one. Unfortunately,
say if they don't take their head out of the sand, when they do eventually surface, there's going to be a burqa and a Quran next to them because this is how quickly they're moving. You know, they list their goal in stages. And out of the four stages, I personally would say we're at stage number three, where they've infiltrated the government and they start changing the infrastructure of our society. And this is what's happening now. So they're far advanced into their 20-year goal. And, you know, maybe we could start breaking that down, if you want, when we start doing, like a monthly or however you and I are going to do this. Maybe we can start breaking down and explaining to people the various sections of the manifesto so people understand. If you don't choose to sit and read it, we could maybe break it down and you know, tell people how they're going to do this.
You know what? That's an excellent idea. Excellent idea. And one thing, I think we go one step further. We send those sections to our legislators and ask for a response.
There we go.
At the same time. Hey, I'm going to have to take a break, but I appreciate you being on with us. We'll definitely have you back again.
All right.
You've been listening to Kathy Henners from Daily Roll Call, and we will have her back again. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee. Thanks again, Kathy. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that a new plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay. Tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. We were supposed to have Michael Patrick Leahy from Beat the Mar here. I'm not sure what's happened. I'm sure something's come up. But we're going to talk a little bit about the Beat Lamar deal. I was at the forum this past weekend and heard both Representative Joe Carr, who has announced to be a candidate to run against Lamar Alexander, and Kevin Kukagee, who has yet to announce. I'm not sure when that's supposed to happen. But here's what I can tell you, in my opinion, with either one of those, we will be so much better off than what we have now with Lamar Alexander. I think both of these guys, I think they're both honest. That's the impression I get anyway. I think they are dedicated to limited government. You know, I think they will stand up for the Constitution. And I think that they are what we need. Now, you know, I've kind of had my favorite, the one that I'm more inclined to support at this point in time, but that's really not the issue here. We have one good candidate who's officially in, another one who might be in, but the thing is, beat Lamar. We have to beat Lamar. And both of them agreed, hey, at some point in time, if it's obvious that, you know, staying in the race will give it to Lamar, both of them agree that they would step out. Now, don't know how all that's going to play out, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It was a good event, very well run, very professionally done. They had a professional moderator from Fox News. I think his name was David Webb. Did an excellent job, asked some hard questions, and it was overall a good event. So now there's two different organizations out there. There's the Beat Lamar group, and if I understood them correctly, and hopefully Michael Patrick Leahy will be with us here in a few minutes, but if not, we'll try again some other time. But if I understood correct, those are the two candidates that they are recognizing. The Tennesseans for a Constitutional Senate, and I'm sure I'm murdering the name, even though I should know it. They have other candidates in addition to those two. And I know their final forum is going to be on September 29th, or that was the plan. Those dates may or may not change. But they have a few additional candidates that are not, that Beat Lamar is like not considering for whatever reason. But let's talk about that just a little bit. We've got a few minutes here before our next guest. Do you think that Lamar can be beaten? Why or why not? We'll try this caller here and see if we can get a little reception this time. Caller, do you have a question or a comment? Can you hear me? Okay, guess not. All right. In terms of Lamar Alexander, you know, there's so many reasons why this guy needs to go and why he needs to be beat. First off, you know, one of the first things you hear about Lamar Alexander of why he can't be beat is the money. Well, he's got so much money. Let's talk about money. Yes, money's important. But I guarantee you, whoever the candidate is that's running against Lamar Alexander, the money will show up. Now, we may not have enough money from inside Tennessee to counter, Lamar, but keep in mind, number one, you don't need a dollar for dollar match because this, you know, now that it's announced that he has a challenge for Joe Carr, I guarantee you that there's going to be people who thought they were stuck with Lamar and now see that they have an option. They're going to start donating. Maybe not a whole lot right now, but they are going to donate. And just like the Scott Brown race up in Massachusetts in 2010, I guarantee you there will be out-of-state money come. Because Lamar has to be one of the top five rhinos in our country. So I would imagine anybody anywhere would gladly write a check to help get rid of Lamar. So I think there will be, this is my personal opinion, there will be enough money for whoever, right now Joe Carr is in. I think there will be enough money. I think the money will materialize to make a good challenge, a good solid challenge to Lamar. So I don't think the money alone is going to save Lamar. There were some things, and they talked about a poll at this forum. I'm not going to get too much into that because the full details of that are going to be released here in the next few days. But let's just say that when people see Lamar's record, when they see the full extent of the damage he's done to the country, he's not near as formidable as everybody thinks. And when people realize, wow, this guy is voting against us on everything. I mean, you know, I don't know how we've tolerated a guy as long as we have. I guess because nobody had the backbone to stand up in the past. So we were stuck with him. So personally, I think there will be enough money show up. Name recognition? Well, hey, if you're running against Lamar Alexander, you're going to get some name recognition. Just the fact that he has a challenger. I mean, it's a story. It is a national. It's a national and even an international news story. So you're going to get some coverage. He's not unbeatable. I mean, hey, Richard Lugar in Indiana had been there 30-some years. He was defeated. So it can happen. We just have to. People have to stay involved, and you have to inform. You know, anything you can do to inform people of Lamar Alexander's record. And there's so many bad things. I can't think of, you know, lately the latest thing the guy can think to brag about is the whole fishing deal where he, you know, did something to get it. I didn't even follow it because when I heard it, I'm like, that's all this guy can brag about after all these years in office, that he kept some area below a dam open to fishermen. I mean, the condition our country's in, and that's the best he can do. We're going to go to a caller here and get a question or a comment. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Well, hello, Mr. Dave. Your broadcast is coming through real good today.
Oh, well, good. Glad to hear it. Is this
Michael? Yes, sir. Lamar has also got another commercial out in the Western Tennessee area where he is Lamar Alexander Conservative, and it has him where Obama's talking to him about Lamar, about Obamacare and stuff, and he's standing up with us against Obamacare, and they all rolled over. I don't know where there's a conservative bone in them.
No. Well, and you know this, they voted 23 times now. But they haven't devoted one. They haven't voted one time to defund. That's the vote that counts. Is the vote to defund?
That's exactly
and they
right.
Know that.
We got a state representative right down here, Stephen Fincher, who's doing the same thing. He's not wanting to shut down the government, so he's not going to vote to defund Obamacare. And that, to me, right there, makes him no different than the person he replaced, which was John Tanner, and he was lockstep with Nancy and the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, really, you know, Lamar is in a lot of ways, you know, Nancy in Plaid, so not a whole lot of difference there.
Well, you got the little me for John McCain on the other side, Bobby Corker, who's now picking up a lot of Lamar's slack, where Lamar used to be in the lead on a lot of these statements and stuff and on these shows. Now Bobby Corker's got his name out there now.
Also known as Lamar Alexander in training. Yeah,
he's John McCain. This guy's trying to get us into another war.
You know, so we, I mean,
both out to get us.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, there's no reason to go to Syria. Let the terrorists kill each other. There's no win situation for us over there. As long as they're killing each other.
For 11 years, we did a good job with Iraq and Iran for 11 years, leaving them the hell alone and letting them knock off each other and let the Russians pour money into them and let them have at each other. And Syria is no different.
I agree. Hey,
thank you, Mr. Dave.
Hey, thanks for calling in. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The call-in number is 718-305-7176, and we've been talking about Beat Lamar. We're going to go take another caller here and see if we've got a question or a comment. Caller, can you hear me? Hello? Do you have a question? Okay. Anyway, we were talking about Beat Lamar. We'll have another guest here in a few minutes. We're waiting on Dave Nance to call in. We're going to talk about the Constitution Party in Tennessee. Caller, you have a question?
Hello, Dave.
Hey, how we doing?
All right. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Hey, this is Dave. This is Dave Nance. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I can hear you
fine. Okay, good. All right. Yeah, you were talking about Lamar. I was talking to a friend the other day. And he said, there's no reason why we can't have a Ted Cruz, just like like Texas did. I said, well, there is a reason. Texas has runoff votes. You don't take office in Texas unless you get 50% plus one. So if Texas didn't have that, they wouldn't have Ted Cruz. And I wish we had that in Tennessee, but our legislators don't like that idea.
So they have a closed primary and a runoff?
They have a runoff in the primary and in the general election.
Oh, okay. Well, and, you know, that would definitely help. We need to close our primaries, and we need to have a runoff of 50% plus one. But you're right, they don't like that because, you know, that's how come we've got, you know, that's how we get people like Lamar and Corker and Haslam, is these open primaries and no runoff.
Those two things work against the incumbents. And Lamar Alexander, Bill Haslam, and the Rhinos, they're not going to have that.
Oh, you're right. I mean, they're not going to willingly do that, for sure.
Because I called in to talk about the Constitution Party. I could talk about beating Lamar for the next 30 minutes at least.
Well, hey, you know, feel free to take a couple more minutes because it's always a good time to beat up on Lamar.
Well, you know, Lamar, we were talking about, somebody a minute ago was talking about Bailout Bob, you know, following in his footsteps. Well, Heritage Action scorecard, last time I looked, which was just a day or two ago, Lamar Alexander was at 41, Bob Corker was at 40. Now,
wow.
The average Republican senator scores 69. So 40 and 41 for our two Tennessee senators is pretty pitiful.
Now, yeah, and we're one of the reddest states in the country.
Oh, we're red. We're a red colored rhino, is what we are, Dave. you take a rhino and paint it red. Our congressman, our nine congressmen, Stephen Fincher is at the bottom of the barrel. His score is 66. The last time I looked was, like I say, was just a day or two ago. And our highest score is Marsha Blackburn, and it's nothing to get excited about. It's in the 80s somewhere, and I was comparing our congressman to some in some other states. Marsha Blackburn is our best scoring on the Heritage Action scorecard. If she were in South Carolina, she would be at the bottom of the barrel.
Wow. And what's her rating?
If I'm not mistaken, it was 86, 88. I'm sitting at my computer, but it would probably take me several minutes to pull it up. So I'm not on a super fast internet hookup. So, but I think it was 88.
Yeah.
And like I say, she was the top scoring, and it went down from there down to Stephen Fincher, who's 66.
66. And, you know, he's not a freshman. He's in his second term now. But, you know, he ran the plow Congress. And now he's just joined Congress with plowing us for the most part.
He's cultivating is what he's doing more. Possibly. Or maybe more accurately, harvesting.
Harvest. Yeah, the subsidies.
Yeah.
Big farm subsidies. Yeah. Now, all of this is what led you, and quite honestly, me and others, you know, although I personally think there are still some good Republicans, I don't think there's any good Democrats, certainly not at the federal level, but I just don't have a lot of faith in the party, and obviously you don't either, and I'm just a rank-and-file member of the Constitution Party, but you are you're heavily involved in the Constitution Party of Tennessee, and
yes.
So we had you on several weeks back. And since that time, there's been a convention, and there are some new bylaws, which the bylaws were key. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened at the convention?
Okay. The convention took place on July the 27th. It was pretty much an all-day meeting. The voting took place in the morning. And if I remember correctly, we voted on the bylaws first, and it was an up-and-down vote. Are these bylaws better than what we had? And there's no question about it. Now, as we go along, there may be amendments. And in fact, that was what was proposed. If there may be things you don't like about the bylaws, let's amend them as we go along. But let's take this quantum leap toward kicking this party in gear. And so the bylaws were voted on first, if I remember correctly, and I think I do. There were somewhere over 60 there voting members. Now, there were more than that there, but there were 60 voting members who paid dues to qualify them as voting members. And if I remember correctly, there was only two people who voted against the amended bylaws. So the amended bylaws went into effect after the meeting that day. And the amended bylaws were badly needed. The party in Tennessee wasn't structured for growth. It just had natural problems there, and it didn't have the growth potential with the current bylaws. And
it's not a new party. It's actually been around for a little while.
Oh yeah, we've been around for a while. In Tennessee, it has just floundered. In other states, it has done well. In fact, I think in 2010 or 2012, the Constitution Party was on the ballot in 37 states. Now, the Constitution Party will be on the ballot in 2014 if we have candidates, and I'm fairly certain we will. The reason we'll be on the ballot is because it was challenged, the Constitution Party challenged the state of Tennessee on their ballot access laws. They won the lawsuit. The state appealed it. The Constitution Party won the appeal. And then the state of Tennessee has now appealed it again. But as it stands right now, unless the state of Tennessee wins the second appeal, which I seriously doubt, we will be on the ballot. So, now all that being said, so we're in a good position now to put people on the ballot, and the Constitution Party name, we're getting the name out there. We are growing very, very quickly. If you consider the number of counties, but going back to the convention, what you asked me about, we elected new officers. There was Zach Poskovich is the state chairman, and Zach has done an excellent job organizationally in bringing things along to where they are. Right now, we have a new website. I say new. There's massive changes to the website, and the website will be online in another couple of days. Right now, we've been testing. I've been working on the testing myself with different browsers, and I have hit very few problems. I hit a problem with Internet Explorer that I didn't find, that the same problem didn't exist with Firefox or Chrome. So it's little things like that. But the website is excellent. I've been all over it. I've seen very few problems. It's very informative. You can go to the website and you can get hooked up. If you want to see a county, if you want to see your county organized, you can go on the website and you can make connections with people that will help you do that. Over the next 2 years, Dave, it's our intentions to organize a county, every county in Tennessee. And 2 years is very, very possible.
Now, right, how many now, do you have right now?
Right now, unless I've lost count, we'll be organizing Henderson County on September the 12th. That will be either 9 or 10. I think 9.
Wow.
I could have lost count. That'll either be 9 or 10. Later on this month, I'll be going to Putnam County, which is, I'm the 8th district director. That's a little bit out of my district. It's about 200 miles from me. But it just happened to work out. We've got an invitation to come up and present the party. And so Zach will be at the well, of course, that's closer to Zach, but Zach will be on that date. He'll be on the way to the national convention in Denver.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, I hate to jump in. I hate to interrupt, but I've got to do a quick read. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the specifics of the bylaws that you got passed, because I think those are important.
Yeah.
Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, here on Conservative Nation Radio. Listen up, then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B, too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. We're talking with Dave Nash from the Tennessee Constitution Party. Dave, before the break, we were talking about the convention back in July, and we were talking about the bylaws. What are the – and I remember prior to this, you said that, you know, so that we don't end up like the GOP, there are some things that we need to put in our bylaws. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That was one of my first concerns when I visited with the state executive committee back earlier in the year. And my biggest concern was, if I worked for this party for the rest of my life, and I was, you know, I was wanting to make a commitment, I was wanting to do something, because I had already divorced the Republican Party, made it public. They kicked me off the election commission, which was a badge of honor. But what is the... what's to keep this party from turning into exactly what the other two parties are? And that's driven from the top down. The rank and file of the party, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, have no say-so whatsoever over the direction of their party. Over the years, they've just come to accept whatever's pushed down their throats. And so the answer came, I got involved in modifying these bylaws. And what we put in place was accountability. And the state executive committee is made up of the lowest level that we could get, people who were in contact with the people out here. The SEC is not a separately elected bunch of people. The SEC is made up of all of the county chairs, the nine district directors, and the state officers. And what happens if we have a candidate that takes office and he votes against the Constitution or against the party platform? One individual can float a petition for a no-confidence vote. If he gets 10% to agree, then it goes to a vote. If it gets two-thirds, if two-thirds of the SEC vote for the no-confidence vote, then action is taken. Now, first, second, and third, but anyway, with three no-confidence vote, the individual is expelled from the party. Now, this could be a state representative, it could be a U.S. senator, or it could be a county chair. So there's where our accountability lies. We believe that it will work. So that's what's going to make the Constitution Party different from the other two parties. The party itself, the rank and file of the party, holds the elected accountable.
And I like the part about the county chairs being part of the SEC, not just a completely separate elected body that could be easily, you know, influenced by other people. And I like the fact that you can bring somebody to account for their votes. Now, you have a fairly low threshold to get a vote of no confidence in terms of getting them, I guess you could say, getting their case to court. But you have to have two-thirds to actually give the no-confidence vote. So that's not a low bar.
No, it's not. In fact, just from my personal point of view, I would rather see it 51%. Because an elected individual does have a lot of influence, can make some phone calls, and you know, and get some of the county chairs or what have you on his side, regardless of the fact that he may have voted. And a lot of votes are going to be questionable, Dave. I happen to think of one where the party is absolutely pro-life from conception. Okay,
right.
That's the party platform. Now, if one of our elected took office and voted for a budget that funded Planned Parenthood, as far as I'm concerned, he's in trouble.
I agree. Hey, now, Dave, I'm going to have to take a real quick break here. I'm sorry, but just hold with us. And
go
don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. We're talking with Dave Nance from the Constitution Party of Tennessee. And, hey, Dave, we got a couple callers on the line here. We're going to get some questions or comments in.
Great.
Caller, you have a question or comment? Hello? Guess not. Let's try this one. Hello, caller, you have a question or comment?
Hi, this is Michael Patrick Leahy. It is 7:35 somewhere. Oh, it's 8:15 here. Oh, gosh. Okay. Sorry I'm late.
Hey, no problem. No, and I didn't even recognize this number, but, hey, that's fine. Well, I covered the best I could. But while we got you on here, Dave, if you don't mind, we'll let Michael catch up just a little bit. If you could kind of lay out, you know, what your thoughts were on this, the forum this past week, and kind of where we go from here.
Well, Dave, are you there also?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Well, I guess I get some bad marks here for being late, don't I? I'm so very sorry. Did you cover okay for me?
I tried.
Well, good, 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 good. Well, yeah, we had a terrific forum, and we had two very good presentations, one from Kevin Kukuchi, and one from State Representative Joe Carr, and, of course, David Webb was our moderator. And I think there were, despite what the Tennessean said, you know, you saw the article there in the Tennessean today, which said that more than 100 people were there. Well, Yeah, way more. The reporter, I don't believe the reporter was actually at the event. We had a media credential, a table, that Lonnie Spivak ran, and the reporter from the Tennessean did not attend the event, did not get a media credential. And we looked at our registered attendance. And by the way, just for those who registered and gave us their addresses and all sorts of information, there were 215. And there were probably another 70, 80 people who just showed up and didn't register. So we had about 300 people there. I mean, you were there. Wouldn't you say it was about 300?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, easy.
Well, the Tennessean reporter, as best I can tell, what they did was there was a Facebook report that somebody just filed. And from that Facebook blog post, I think they wrote their entire article. That's not exactly what I would call quality journalism.
But that's what we expect from the Tennessean, though. We don't expect quality from the Tennessean. So they're really living up to their standard.
Well, they are. And, of course, I sent the two reporters there. I noticed all the errors that they made and said, you know, at least you should inform your readers that you actually weren't there.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So we had a terrific event. We had lots of enthusiasm. We had, we saw the great big Beat Lamar banners. We gave away well over 100 T-shirts, yard signs, door hangers, bumper stickers. I don't know if you got yours and put your.
Oh
yard
yeah, I got my. I've got my bumper stickers and door hangers.
Good,
I don't live
good.
Where anybody. Well, too many people would see my yard sign, so I left it for somebody they'd have more visibility.
Well, I put the yard sign in my yard today, and got a few beeps on the horn from neighbors passing by, sounding agreement. And of course, you know, the moderator of the event was my good friend and Fox News contributor David Webb.
And he did a great job.
Did you think so? I thought he did a great job as well.
Looks like he might have done that a time or two. That's kind of the impression I got.
Well, he did. He moderated. What was interesting about that is he moderated the event the special election debate between Mark Sanford and forget his first name, but Bostick in the special election in South Carolina back in March. And so he has a lot of experience in that. But did you catch the offer that David made?
Lincoln-Douglas debate, which I was talking to Kurt Blackwood. He's within the 8th District. And, Dave, while I got you on here, hey, I tell you what, I think the 8th District needs to do a Lincoln Douglas-type debate here for these guys, if that's feasible. If we could get them, we can get a place for it, that would be great. Because you need to, you know, Nashville's great. I understand it's the center of the state, but, hey, West Tennessee got a lot of conservatives out there. You'd have a good draw.
That's a good idea. We need to do that.
Well,
not
so
to put
was,
you on the
know,
spot.
That was pretty exciting, I thought. And, you know, David Webb, just so you know, David Webb is a huge rising star in the conservative media. It was, you know, I as you know, we had a situation where it's funny how these things turn out. You know, we had originally invited Brenda Leonard, who was an announced candidate, and Joe Carr, who announced on August 20th, and Kevin Kukagee, who has not announced. But right. We had invited long time before, like we invited Tim Burchett, but Tim didn't respond to us, and Kevin accepted our invitation. But, yeah. And of course, you may recall who was going to be the original moderator of that event?
Ralph Bristol, who's supporting Joe Carr.
Ralph Bristol. Well, and it's interesting because when Joe Carr made the announcement that he was running on Ralph's show, Ralph made very positive statements about Joe. You know, when he was first on it, I don't know if it quite got to the level of endorsement, but I think as Ralph said afterwards, you know, if you want to interpret it that way, there's nothing I couldn't disagree with you. And Ralph said, look, if any of the other candidates, and at the time it was Brenda Leonard and Kevin Kukagee, have an objection to my moderating the event, I will withdraw. And so it was interesting. Kevin did not raise an objection, but Brenda Leonard did.
And then she doesn't
show. Well,
yeah,
I mean, it's just fascinating. So how this all developed. So Ralph is a man of his word, and so he withdrew as a moderator.
Yeah.
And then what happened is, literally, I mean, I am at Kinko's at 4:30 Friday night, literally printing out the straw ballots. And we've got, you know, Brenda Leonard and Kevin Kukagee and Joe Carr. And I check my email, and lo and behold, I have a letter from Brenda Leonard's campaign withdrawing from the forum.
Yeah.
So, you know, fortunately, okay, you know, no reason given. It was a very polite letter. So we, you know, changed the format and everything, and you know, made a brief announcement. And but so what happened though is, so you know, Ralph withdrew as a moderator, and so what do you do? I mean, it's very difficult to find somebody, a media personality in the state of Tennessee.
Short notice, yeah. Yeah.
On short notice with a stature of Ralph Bristol's caliber.
Right.
And so I
right.
just reached out to my friend David Webb, who I've known for 4 years since the start of the Tea Party movement, really a stand-up guy. And I said, you know, David, I have never asked you for a favor, but I need you down here in Tennessee, you know, this coming weekend. Can you make it?
Yeah.
And he said, you bet. And so David, who has a Sirius XM radio program, which he runs from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time every night, got off midnight Friday, went home, got 3 hours of sleep, got, you know, caught a 7:30 a.m. flight and, you know, made the event. So it was just a spectacular contribution on his part.
Hey, we've got about a minute till I got to take a hard break. What's the? This was a first forum. Your final forum is going to be when?
On September 28th in Johnson City, and then September, and then we have other ones. Or between that, we have Chattanooga, Maryville, and Memphis. This Saturday in Memphis.
And the only two candidates you're recognizing, even though Kevin is not officially a candidate yet, the only two that you guys are vetting, as I understand it, is Representative Carr and Kevin Kukagee, correct?
Well, as it turns out, we got an interesting email from Kevin Kukagee last night.
Okay.
And he said he had a terrific time, but he's withdrawn from all future forums.
Wow. So are you still going to have your follow-up?
We're going to turn them into Beat Lamar Town Halls.
Okay, well, that'll draw a lot of people. Hey, I'm up against a hard break. I thank you for calling in, and I'd like
to
get back.
Well, let me extend my apologies for being late.
Well, hey, it happens. I understand. I appreciate you coming on, and I'll tell you what, if you come back on later, that will be great. Can we set up a future date?
Oh, you bet. You bet. I owe you guys.
Hey, thanks a lot. And once again, that was a great event Saturday. You guys did a great job with that.
Well,
don't
thank
go
you
away.
So much.
We'll be right...
very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you for calling in. Dave, we're going to finish up on the Constitution Party talk as soon as we get back from the break. Hey, don't go away. We've got Dave Nance, and we're going to talk about the Constitution Party here in Tennessee. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We're speaking with Dave Nance from the Tennessee Constitution Party. We do have a couple callers on the line. Be patient. We'll get with you. Dave, before the break there, the extended break, we were talking about the Constitution Party. We were talking about the bylaws and kind of what differentiates the Constitution Party or what was implemented in the Constitution Party to keep it from becoming like the GOP a few years down the line.
Yes.
You with
us? I'm here. I think we covered that for the listeners. One of the things that, and in fact, there's a couple of points that I want to make about the Constitution Party and the direction we're going. And one of those that's rattling around in the back of your listeners' minds is, we're going to split the conservative vote. Okay? Now, we've been hearing it for decades. That's how they keep us trapped. One thing I want to talk about there, the conservative vote is already split and scattered asunder. If there's 2 out of 3 people in this country that say they're conservatives. Now, maybe they are, maybe they're not. But they're likely to vote for the more conservative candidate. So, but the sad fact is, we do not have a conservative party.
No, we don't. We have a party that talks it.
We have a party that talks it. But there's a point here I want to make, and this is not my point. This is Albert Einstein's point. If we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting. Now, we are not the first generation to be frustrated with the Republican Party. When I took the Republican blinders off and I started analyzing just exactly what both parties had been doing, because we've all learned, or the ones that have been watching politics very long, we learn not to listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Now, that goes for a candidate. That goes for a candidate or a party. Now, the last time the federal government was downsized was in the Calvin Coolidge administration in the 1920s. Now, since that time, since Calvin Coolidge, we have had 14 presidencies. We've had, it so happens, we've had 7 Republican administrations and 7 Democrat administrations. All 14 of them have grown government larger and more intrusive than the one before it.
Yep.
It doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat. As much as I loved Ronald Reagan as a man and as a president, the debt almost tripled under his administration. That's fact. I'm not running Ronald Reagan down. I love the man, but it's fact that government has relentlessly grown through every single administration. So we do not have a party of small, more fiscally responsible government. It don't exist. Now, I ask all your listeners, do we want constitutional government? Number one. I think we all know the answer, each of us's answer to that question. If our federal government was operating within the limits of the Constitution, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. And our problems are massive. And the question number two is the Republican Party going to be the vehicle to take us there? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, absolutely not.
It hasn't been. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we had the presidency, we had the House, we had the Senate. What'd we get?
Exactly. Exactly what I'm talking about. Now, one point I want to make here is, in reality, we're not pushing to advance a third party. We're pushing to advance a second party. And
I would agree with that.
I want to explain myself. When you have a two-party system, one party holds the other accountable to the rule of law. That's not happening.
No,
Let me come back to that. The alignment of the two major parties. I want to cover a few things where the two parties are aligned, or at least they are enough together that these things are being imposed on the American people. Then the first is generational theft.
Yep.
Are both parties on board? Absolutely.
Just for different items.
Yeah.
In some cases, different items.
Exactly, but it when it boils down to the end of it, it's generational theft.
Yeah.
They can't stop themselves from spending our children's future. Then we're going down to abortion, gay marriage, Common Core, refugee resettlement. Let me come back to that in a minute. NDAA, suspension of habeas corpus under certain circumstances. The intrusive provisions of the Patriot Act. That's arguable, but it's at least an encroachment on our Fourth Amendment. Latest is sales tax on Internet sales. And actually, that's a Republican thing. That's Bill Haslam with Lamar Alexander cheerleading. But all of these things are pushed on us. This is bipartisanship. This is the alignment of the two parties. And we're going to support one of them? Not me. not anymore. And I come down to why in the world would Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker vote to legalize 12 million individuals who are going to vote themselves money and benefits from the Treasury that they've never paid a dime into, and come and take jobs that Americans badly need?
Yep. Especially at this point in time. But at any time, it's just the wrong answer. It shows no respect for our sovereignty, no respect for our country, no respect for the people who came here the right way.
Well, sovereignty is the key word. They don't believe in it. Lamar and Bob are part of the globalist. They're they're the elitist. They're progressive. They're big government progressives. But going on down to the fact that in name we have two parties, two major parties, the Democrats and Republicans, in name only. We do not have an opposition party because let's look at Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the IRS abuses of the American people. And by the way, that's still underway. They didn't even stop when they were caught. Then the NSA spying on American citizens. And they call these things scandals. They're not scandals, they're crimes. It's criminal activity. Now, where is the opposition party that is supposed to hold this administration accountable? It don't exist. Now, in name only, we have two parties. In function, we don't, because we don't have that opposition party holding the other one accountable. It's simply
You talk about holding them accountable, impeachment in some cases or whatever. It doesn't matter. Anything that has to go to the Senate to get the Senate's approval, the argument they'll make is, well, we don't control the Senate, so there's no use for us to do the right thing. We're not going to bother doing what we should do because we don't control the Senate. And that's the argument they make.
Well, do they not know how to shame them, hold them to the rule of law? There is no rule of law. The Obama administration is in a state of complete lawlessness.
And oh, I agree.
There is nothing at all holding them accountable. But
and nobody really trying.
We can go on with the lawlessness right to the. Let's look at what President Obama has granted himself.
Dave, let me do it. Before we do that, I've got to do a quick read, and then we'll get right back to it.
All right.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. And then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm Dave Vince, your host. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we are talking to Dave Nance with an N, from the Tennessee Constitution Party. Back to you, Dave. You were getting ready to talk about the fact that nobody's holding Obama accountable. He's as lawless as he wants to be.
Oh, yes. And I'll go on and cover, and primarily this deals with Obamacare, but not altogether. I don't know exactly how long ago, it's been well over a year ago, I think, President Obama decided that our immigration laws wouldn't be enforced. So he granted himself the power to determine what laws will be enforced and what laws would not be enforced. Then he started granting exclusions to Obamacare, exceptions,
yep.
Exclusions, whatever you call them. So he granted himself the power to decide who has to abide by the laws and who doesn't. Then more recently, he decided that to randomly decided to move parts of Obamacare out to a later date. So he granted himself the power to decide when laws are effective and when they're not. Now, these three things, Dave, he's made himself a dictator.
Yep.
And you haven't heard the
GOP do anything. They haven't said anything about it for the most part. I mean, they haven't attempted to take any concrete action. I think they, to be honest with you, I think they see it as something to use more in the campaign rather than a constitutional oath that they need to uphold and do something about. I think they'd just rather use it in the election.
We are in the midst of a constitutional crisis. This is so far out that these three things that Obama has granted himself the power for has effectively made Congress irrelevant. It doesn't matter. We're looking at the immigration law right now. It doesn't matter what they pass, Dave. If Obama can take the parts of it he wants to and implement and dump the rest and not enforce the rest.
Yeah.
It makes no difference at all what they pass. Then let's move on down to his executive orders. In the event of a national emergency, he can now confiscate all property. He can confiscate our bank accounts, our real estate, our food, our guns, our ammunition, whatever we have, can confiscate it all. All he has to do is declare a national emergency. Number two, in a more recent executive order, I think it's about 6 or 8 weeks old, in the event of a national emergency, can take over the management of all communications, which means he can shut them down.
Yep.
Think about these things. All of these things that he has usurped the power that doesn't belong to our president, where is the opposition party? It don't exist functionally. Functionally, we do not have a second party right now. So we need one, and that's the Constitution Party.
I think that's a good argument, Dave. I mean, I really do. They are an opposition party in name only. That's what the GOP seems to be. And you know, another thing I keep hearing about. Well, you know, we got to take back the Senate. So then we can accomplish some things once we take back the Senate and we hold on to the House. Well, if taking back the Senate means that you're going to continue to have people like McCain, Lindsey Graham, Lamar Alexander, Bob Corker, and a lot of these other people, I'm not convinced that a majority in the Senate will do us any good, because I'm not convinced those people have, number one, any real convictions. They stand for election, and that's just about it. Or I don't think they have the courage to do those things, to really stand up to anybody.
No, they don't. And I want to ask your listeners to answer one more question in their mind. George W. Bush created the Department of Homeland Security. Okay. Barack Obama turned it into a standing army, and there's no argument of that. We know it's out there. We know they bought more than 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Yeah, yeah.
2,700 armored vehicles. Folks, we have a standing army.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. If the Republicans took the presidency, the Senate, and the House, would they demilitarize the DHS?
I don't believe it for a minute. I don't believe it for a minute.
I don't either.
And Dave, I'm going to have to take a real quick break. Listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
The opinions, views, and ideas expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on conservativenationradio.org are exclusively their own and are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, management, or staff of conservativenationradio.org. Thank you for listening to conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
680 to 90, 10-4.
could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we are speaking to Dave Nance. That's Nance with an N from the Tennessee Constitution Party. And Dave, you just made a pretty good case a few minutes ago. I think that we're really not talking a third party here. We're talking an actual second party, because the GOP doesn't stand up for anything. Before we go back to where we're headed down there, I want to try to take a call here. I've tried this one before. Let's see if it'll work this time. Caller, you have a question or a comment? Hello? All right, well, Mike Shy, I guess. Okay. Let's get back to where we're at after the break. Like I said, you made a good point that the GOP won't stand up. You mentioned the DHS, the billions of rounds. MRAPs, there's 2,500 MRAPs that are going to police departments across the country. And then, of course, I don't know how many DHS actually has, but I guarantee you they probably got those through DHS. And, you know, the DHS, they are pretty much a little mini army. I don't know what their total numbers are, but it is pretty much an additional army.
Yeah,
and you're right. The GOP would probably never dismantle it if they took control of everything.
Well, we're looking at a situation here. We keep voting for one party or the other. You know, we think, well, the Republicans are not as bad as the Democrats. When we vote for a politician who has violated our Constitution, we're making a terrible mistake. We reward them. When they violate our Constitution, we reward them by reelecting them. And it's why we have gotten to where we are. And we're not trapped in this two-party system. And it's actually a two-party, one-party system. We're not trapped in it. We trap ourselves in it with our mentality. And the price we'll pay for reelecting those who violate our Constitution is our freedom.
And we've paid it, and we'll continue to pay it.
We'll
try another caller here. I think this one will answer here. Barbara, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Great show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like the three-party, the Constitution Party idea, because it's just not working
party. What's
up there. Yeah, it's
the
just
second
not
party,
working.
Remember?
Yeah, it's just not working what they've got going on. So we've got this gig going on that I've talked about, overpasses for Obama's impeachment. And we've been doing a lot of that the fastest growing movement that's been happening right now in the past couple of months. And we're going to have the founder of overpasses.org on our show, Women Patriots, tomorrow night. And he's going to tell us what else is going on and how we're going to continue. And we really, we need to be heard in many ways, shapes, and forms. And this is one way that we're being heard, because we're getting an awful lot of honks, because that's what we do. We put signs up, honk to impeach. And we've got honks coming and going. We get a couple of fingers every now and again, too. But they honk, and then it's just funny, though, because they honk, and then they'll give us the finger. So you're honking. Thank you for honking for our cause. You know, that's,
yeah.
So you get the one-finger salute once in a while, huh?
Yeah, and that's okay. We kind of laugh at it. But they honk, so they're still representing, helping our cause by doing that.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the founder, James Neighbors, on Women Patriots at 8 o'clock on conservativenationmedia.com tomorrow. and Brenda and I are really excited to have our show going on. So I hope everybody will join us.
Sounds like it'll be a good one. And if you got a dollar for every honk, you'd already be a millionaire, no doubt.
No doubt, dude, no doubt. I should start doing that. Hey, that's a good idea. I'm unemployed now.
What overpass are you working, Barbara?
Where I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
So we're just going over overpasses, and actually what is coming up in October is I-95. So from New Hampshire, Maine, 95 goes to Maine to Florida. There's going to be a whole wave of impeach Obama in every state down the eastern border. It's going to be really cool. We're not making national media yet because, you know, the lamestream media.
Yeah.
They ignore us.
Well,
I think
there's certainly justification for impeachment.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
There's just simply not the courage.
You're right.
The Republican Party is null and void.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Gang of punks.
Exactly.
GOP, gang of punks.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, thanks.
All right. Take care. Have a good week.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Dave, I want to ask you, you know, and we hear this, we catch this, and I know you've caught it. There's people in GOP that are good people. They agree with us on every issue. We're talking about the hardcore conservatives. And down the line, but they'll agree with us on issues, but they still believe that the only way to do this is by restoring the GOP. They're hung up on that concept. They think that anything else is a losing strategy. And I don't quite understand that, because I thought a party was essentially a group of individuals, like-minded individuals, who put their efforts and their finances towards a goal. So I don't know why that formula can only work under one banner.
I'd like to explain why I believe that taking over the GOP, salvaging the GOP, is not doable. It's not workable.
And you got 2 minutes to do it, by the way.
And I got 2 minutes to do it. Okay. Both parties, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, are structurally flawed. There's no accountability like we've set up in the Constitution Party. So there's nothing to hold them to constitutional law or to the rule of law. And over time, three out of four, and you may have a different idea. Three out of four that we elect and send up there are eventually going to get co-opted into the power structure. Now, even if we ousted the bad ones, Bob Corker, Lamar Alexander, Bill Haslam, and that ilk, and replaced them with good constitutional conservatives, it would be short-lived, because over time, those people that go up there and are not held accountable are going to succumb to the power, to the lobbyist, and what have you. It's going to revert. I doubt seriously that we're ever going to take over the top end of the Republican Party. And like I say, even if we did, it would be short-lived because the party structure is flawed.
And one thing about the the Constitutional Party in Tennessee, so people understand, the intent is not that we're going to run somebody in every race in 2014. We know it's going to take longer, and for the most part, we are just going to focus, as I understand it, on state races rather than national races, correct?
Correct, yes. Oh, yeah. Constitution Party of Tennessee, we're focused strictly on Tennessee.
Yeah.
But there's one other thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Fast and furious. Go ahead. We got about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. One other thing, I want to go back several months, about 8 or 10 months back. If you remember, Karl Rove started a special fund to defeat conservatives in the primaries.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm sorry, we're down to about 7 seconds. We're out of here. So, hey,
okay.
I will have you back on. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your patience, and we will see you again. Take care.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Hey, Dave, you still there?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry to cut you off. I was the time, it goes, the last 20, 30 seconds just speed through.
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
But you were getting ready to mention Karl Rove. Basically, his plan was to take out conservatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't want conservatives. They've never wanted.
No.
They didn't want Reagan. They didn't want Reagan.
No, they hate us.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, you know what? I don't want to be somewhere that I'm not wanted. And you know what?
Exactly.
Here's the deal, though. They will never win another election without conservatives. And I don't understand why conservatives can't figure that out. If all the conservatives said, to heck with you, I'm going to go to the Constitution Party. I'm going to spend my money there. I'm going to put my effort and my energy there. It could be done. It
Dave,
could be done. At least in our state. At least in our state.
Dave, if you and I can figure that out, other people are going to start figuring it out.
Yep. I agree. Well, hey, Dave, thanks again. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you. You know, he called in late. I appreciate you, you know, giving up some time there.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'll be glad to come back on anytime. I had more material to cover.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll definitely get you back soon in October sometime. We'll get you on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
hey,
Dave.
Thanks again, and I'll see you on the 14th.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And take care. Bye.